Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament. My foot stands on level ground.
In the great assembly, I will bless the Lord.
Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity.
And I have trusted in the Lord without
wavering. Prove me, O Lord, and try me. For your steadfast love is before my eyes.
And I walk in your faithfulness.
I do not sit with men of falsehood.
Nor do I consort with hypocrites.
I hate the assembly of evildoers.
And I will not sit with the wicked.
I wash my hands in innocence.
And go around your altar, O Lord.
Proclaiming thanksgiving aloud.
And telling all your wondrous deeds.
O Lord, I love the habitation of your house. Do not sweep my soul away with sinners,
nor my life with bloodthirsty men,
in whose hands are evil devices,
and whose right hands are full of wiles.
But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity.
Redeem me and be gracious to me.
My foot stands on level ground.
In the great assembly, I will bless the Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. My foot stands on level ground.
In the great assembly, I will bless.
The Old Testament reading for the eighth Sunday after Trinity is from Jeremiah chapter 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the hearts of the prophets, who prophesy lies, and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal? Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 8. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 7th chapter. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you a debtor to the flesh or to the Spirit? Or maybe we can put it in the words of our sermon from last week. Are you dead to God and alive to sin, that is, the flesh? Or are you dead to sin and alive to God, that is, the Spirit? You know, of course, what you're supposed to be. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if, by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So, which is it? Are you still enslaved? Are you still a debtor to the flesh, to your original sinful nature, to the devil and the world and death? Or are you dead to sin, but alive to God? You remember last week, hopefully. It was a long week for me, so I don't remember all that much about last week. Hopefully you do. But you remember, you heard the truth that in Christ, we in fact are dead to sin. And therefore, we are freed from sin. But you also heard last week that because of that, because we are dead to sin and alive to God, because we have been freed from sin, that we should now strive to act like slaves to God. And the reason for that is because of the reality of our original sin. Now, our original sin is dead inside of us. Make no mistake about that. That is what your baptism has done. That is what you hearing the word of the Lord does. That's what you coming and receiving the very body and blood of your Lord for the forgiveness of your sins and the life and salvation that is offered there. All of that daily kills your original sin inside of you. It has been forgiven. It has been washed clean. But it is still there. You can almost picture it as sort of like this dead weight that's just clinging to you, dragging you down over and over again. It's still there, trying, even in death, to bring you down to death. And it is only by Christ and his Spirit that we can be free. And that does include even we as Christians. If we try to deal with our dead original sin inside of us with our own reason and strength and willpower, we will fail. We cannot do it on our own. But that which is impossible with man is certainly possible with God. God does allow us to actually do good in this world by empowering us and sending his Spirit to live with us. And by that Spirit, by the third person of the Trinity who lives inside of you and has lived inside of you ever since you were baptized, ever since you first heard the word of the Lord, he has come and given you faith. And who, by faith, you have submitted yourself to, since you act as if you are slaves to God, you are, in fact, free. But it's not just free. This is another one of our American little foible things that we have, that we put a huge emphasis on freedom. I think I talked about this a little bit last week. And that's not just freedom as in people can't tell me what to do and I don't have to listen to people who tell me I can't do this. It's also this weird sort of freedom from other people as well. Sometimes we've sort of heard it, I think, described as like rugged individualism. And usually that tends to be kind of like a good thing when they say that. But in fact, that is not the kind of freedom that God has given us. We have not been given the freedom to be disconnected from everyone, the freedom to go off and be hermits out on our land where we can do whatever we want, though maybe that's not necessarily a bad thing. But no, we have been given freedom in that we have been adopted. We have been given freedom, not in the sense that we are now somehow a free agent that is disconnected from all the other authorities and responsibilities and duties or debts, that we get to decide what we do. We get to decide what we're responsible for, what our duties are, who we owe what. That is not the freedom that God has given you. The freedom that God has given you is that you are now a son or daughter of God instead of a slave to God, or even worse, a slave to sin. What Jesus accomplished on the cross was that he accomplished a restoration of a family. We were all wandering around like lost sheep. We had been taken by death and the devil and the world, and God came, broke into the world, and sacrificed himself to reestablish his family and to gather all of us, his wandering sheep, back in. And when he did that, he doesn't just throw us out in the pasture to potentially be taken again. He doesn't just throw us in the stables where maybe we deserve to be. Instead, he brings us into his house, into the rooms that he has prepared for us. For we are his children. That's what Christ accomplished on the cross for you. That's what happened for you when you were baptized, when God literally put his name on you. He was claiming you as members of his family. And what this means for us then is that we have been freed so that we no longer need to fear God. And let me explain what I mean when I say that. What that means is that now you don't obey him and follow his commandments because of the fear of punishment. Maybe another way we can say this is that you no longer need to be terrified of God. You no longer need to be horrified about God. In the same way that you shouldn't have to be terrified or horrified of your own fathers. And the reason for this is quite simple. Why do we no longer need to fear God punishing us? Because he's not going to punish us. Because, in fact, there is no punishment, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The way that Jesus reestablished his family, the way that he came back in order to bring all of his brothers and sisters, in Jesus' case, back into the fold, was that he looked at the Father and said, "Punish me instead. I will take their debts. I will take their punishment. I will take their condemnation. I will take their damnation. And I will take it all upon myself so that they don't need to suffer it." That is why you need not fear your God. That is why you need not fear Judgment Day. Because when Judgment Day comes, the one who's doing the judging is the very one who died for you, the very one who earned forgiveness for you, the one who took all of the things that you could be punished for and suffered for them in your place. You do not need to be terrified to see God face to face. Because of Jesus. So then, the Spirit of God that you received when you heard the word, that you received when you were baptized, that you're going to receive again in just a few moments, he is not a spirit of slavery who's trying to control us with fear, because that's how slavery works, right? Is that you're controlling someone with fear. Something probably worth thinking about with all the people who are trying to make us afraid nowadays, by the way. Instead, he is the spirit of adoption as sons. He is the one by whom we cry, "Abba, Father." And you can almost even hear this when you hear it in the English, but it's more obvious in the Greek that this Abba here, this isn't just dad or father or anything like that. This is daddy. This is the cry of the little child for their dad. The cry of one who knows without a doubt that daddy is going to make it all better. That is the spirit who is inside of us. That is what we get to call God. And recognize that it isn't just that we get to do it. This is proven. This has been proven in like a court of law. The Spirit of God himself testifies that we are his children, bears witness that we are his. And so, in fact, does our spirit. Our spirit calls out to God. The new spirit that we have been given, the new man who is rising up thanks to God's work inside of us, reaches out to our God and knows that not only do we need him, but that he will always be there for us. This is the spirit of the Father who claims us as his. The Father who saw the serpent coming for us and interposed himself. The one who saw our rebellion and the consequences of it from the very beginning of time and stated, "I think not." The Spirit of our Lord, who took the eternal consequences of our failure onto himself, and who freely shares with us his inheritance. The one who earned all of the universe, the one who actually did everything that needed doing to fulfill the law and the prophets, doesn't try to hold that over us as if it was some kind of reward that we had to work our hardest in order to get into. And only maybe will we get it if we do everything right. Instead, he just shares it. He just gives it. This is the free gift of eternal life that he earned for you. But it doesn't always feel like that, does it? It doesn't always feel like we are the children of God who have nothing to fear, who have no need to worry about anything. But our Lord told us that it would be that way. He told us at the end of our text that we will suffer. But when we suffer as children of God, with the hope of an eternity with our Father in the new creation. We do not suffer as slaves and debtors to our sin and our flesh. Death no longer has a hold over us. It feels like it does. It even looks like it does. After all, unless our Lord comes again, we are all going to die. But our Lord has made it clear to us that that death is simply the gate to everlasting life. And you are free to trust your Father, free to trust the one who we call Daddy, because he's proven that he's trustworthy, because he sent his Son to us to suffer for us, because his Son did suffer for us, and because he has sent his Spirit to us, making it clear that we are his children and that he does love us. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise to fable as we come before our Lord in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs, saying, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God of truth, protect your flock from the wolves that seek to mislead and devour the sheep through their false teaching. Give us discernment to test them against your word and so recognize false prophets by their bad fruit. Preserve your church in the pure doctrine of your word that the good fruit of salvation would abound. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God of truth, you send out your word that all people may obtain faith in your Son. Send out faithful preachers to run tirelessly with your word and make known your good and gracious will. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, God of truth, apart from your Son and without your Spirit, we can do nothing good. Keep us in your steadfast word, that our lives and teachings may please you and bear abundant fruit. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, God of truth, you have purchased us as your flock by the shedding of Christ's blood. Fill all governing authorities with fear of you, and let their service foster and preserve peace. Have mercy on our people and country. Let our youth be brought up in discipline and in right knowledge of you, that they may recognize both your law and the way of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, God of truth, you are a fortress to your people. In your temple, we think on your steadfast love in Christ. Hear us on behalf of all who need healing, strength, and comfort, especially those who have requested our prayers, including Jolene, Connie, Marcus, Tanya, Jan, Mike, Audra, Ella, Aaron, Randy, Sally, Pastor Schneider, Karen, Gordon, Susan, Pastor Karch, Pastor Wengren, Pastor Stinnett and his family, as well as those in care facilities, including Vera, James, and Clarence, and those who are deployed in the military, including Brent, George, Amanda, Joe, Aaron, John, Alex, Garrett, Tad, and Amadeus. Defend them from the attacks of the evil one, and cause them to join in your praise. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, God of truth, your word is like fire, and you fill heaven and earth. You are not far off, but you are in our midst, announcing the salvation accomplished by your living Christ, the crucified. Grant to our synod, gathered in convention, the spirit to think and do always such things as are right, that we, who cannot do anything that is good without you, may be enabled by you to live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.